of Jesus, amen. He's different than his friends. I mean, he thinks the way his friends do, but this young Christian man, this teenager, realizes that his friends are lost. And oftentimes he feels lost, but he's so thankful that he can go to church and take communion on a regular basis. And when he does, he feels better. He knows that he's forgiven. The couple's been married for quite some time. They've had their ups. They've had their downs. They've learned how to die to their own selfish desires. It's been quite a road. But they're thankful that they have Jesus in the middle of their marriage. She's been a widow for quite some time. Lost her husband 25 years before. Had a lot of kids. They're not going to church. And her grandkids are pretty wild. But she doesn't despair. She doesn't give in. She prays for her family. She's the matriarch. And she's not afraid to speak truth to them, reminding them of how much they're loved by God because of Jesus. She doesn't see a lot of fruit to all of her ministry, to her family, but she doesn't give up. She continues to pray. She always goes to church. She's so thankful for that faith lift so that she, in turn, can share the faith. How do those different people make it? It's because of the church. The church has a different message than the world. You and I are getting a beat down every day of anger and fear, of helplessness and hopelessness, of be disgusted with them and take a look at this and look at what's happened with them. I mean, we are being bombarded with a world of unbelief, of fear and guilt and shame and blame and anger and bitterness and pride and jealousy and lust and greed. And it's a miracle of God's grace that we believe. Thank the Lord, it's a miracle of God's grace that we believe. But it's a battle. The world of unbelief is screaming at us and we can't help but take it in. And it starts messing with us. But God, in his word, warns us of that struggle. And today, we're going to be thinking about our faith and what faith does and how faith talks. Our message is titled, Your Faith, History or Current Events? You know, I break a rule. You should not have sermon titles with question marks. But it really is a question. And I want to do it in our epistle text for this Sunday from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews is a very interesting book of the Bible. It's a sermon that elevates Jesus over all the objects of religion, all the parts and pieces that can make up religion. And, you know, we have a profoundly rich tradition where we can talk about all kinds of things in the Bible, talk about what angels do and how various things work, but it's all about Jesus and what he has done so that we can be his house. In chapter 3, we get into the details of excuse me, the difference between Moses and Jesus. And I'm not going to read a lot of it, but, well, I've got to get to it first here. Gosh. In chapter 3, we hear this. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And so we're a house. And in chapter 3, the author is really focusing us on Jesus. And the question is, what kind of a house are we going to be? A house holding to courage and the hope of which we boast, what Christ has done for us, or some other kind of house? And it's fascinating, quoting Psalm 97. Okay, I got to just say it. So we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some of your Bibles say the Apostle Paul did, and then the Greek scholars will say, well, the Greek is so different than anything Paul has written in the New Testament. Maybe it's Apollos. We don't know. But what's fascinating here is we get a little picture of inspiration even in the text. The Holy Spirit says, that's the way chapter 3, verse 7 starts. So, as the Holy Spirit says, so God is always guiding us. God the Spirit is guiding us. And this is what the Holy Spirit says. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That's leading right up to our epistle reading for today. And so today we are being warned of the dangers of being a house of rebellion, a house always going astray, versus being a house of courage holding on to the hope. So what kind of house are we to be? And before we start thinking about all of us together, what kind of a house are you to be? What kind of house am I to be? Well, we're going to think about that. We're going to think about that. So this is where we pick up in Hebrews chapter 13. It's kind of like cutting to the chase. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now, I'm sure all of us would say amen. But what's an evil, unbelieving heart? It's a heart that embraces fear and goes with it. It's a heart that embraces anger and goes with it. A heart that embraces lust and greed and pride. You see, unbelief goes across all the gamut of our emotions when we are not trusting in God. The young man that goes to Jesus says, what must I do to earn eternal life? He's trusting in himself. That's unbelief. He thinks that he can do salvation on his own. That's unbelief. So along with fear and pride and lust and greed, self-righteousness is unbelief. Thinking I'm better than others is unbelief. Thinking that others are worse than I am is unbelief. Thinking too little of ourselves can be unbelief. I mean, unbelief comes in all kinds of different ways. But what it ends up doing, it leads you to fall away from the living God. Like I said moments ago, and we're in a world right now screaming unbelief, beating us down with unbelief. Why trust in God? Take care of yourself. Why say prayers? Get busy and get it done. Wonder about your money. Be concerned about your health. I mean, in and across all these things, we can start wondering, you know, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to believe? Where am I supposed to go? And we can just feel like we're getting just battered and smashed. I was thinking about a church sign I saw years ago. It went this way, running low on faith. Stop in for a fill-up. I thought that was really cool. But you can't sometimes wait till Sunday. Running low on faith, Say a prayer. Running low on faith, ask Jesus to help you. Running low on faith, do a devotion. Running low on faith, call someone to pray for you. I mean, how many ways can we feel like faith is getting sucked out of us in this current culture? I guess you could say the answer is legion. I mean, you and I can be so battered and smashed. And yet, we want to be households of faith. We want to call upon the Lord. You know, a few chapters before Mark chapter 10, we hear of a dad taking his son to the disciples to cast out a demon. They can't do it. So there's a big theological argument about how you cast out demons. And Jesus starts addressing a bigger issue with everyone there, and that was their unbelief. And so Jesus punches the dad in the spiritual gut. And of course, Jesus lands the fish too, because the father gets it when Jesus says, all things are possible if you believe. And what does the father say? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Yeah, you remember it, don't you? I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I think I can do salvation on my own. Help my unbelief. Lord, I'm prideful. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help me with my guilt. Lord, I believe. Help me with my lust. Lord, I believe, but help me with my greed. I mean, all those things are the unbelief that just mess with us and brutalize us. And those are the very things that Jesus has come to save us from. Those are the very gifts, I know that sounds crazy, that Jesus wants from us. He can clean the house of all of its unbelief in here. And he loves to do it. That's what it's about. Because he wants to lead us to the living God, while our unbelief seeks to lead us away from the living God. How many ways do you and I struggle with unbelief every day? And we realize how hard it is. We start worrying about people too much. We start fretting over our health too much. I mean, isn't it crazy? We are struggling with things, and our struggle only makes us even more fit to be tied. That's what unbelief does. Just what it does. Take care, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Can happen in marriage and parenting and friendships. Can happen in congregations. Danger, danger. So what's the solution? But exhort one another every day. Encourage, comfort, walk alongside, talk with one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And that's the challenge. You know, sin can be so little. It knocks on the door, and you say, who is it? Just a little bit of jealousy. Let me in. And you know, we open up the door and boom, jealousy is huge. And we're thinking, how in the world did I ever let this get into my mind? And then you're, or fear, and you find yourself after 2 hours just thinking, why have I been afraid for 2 hours, Lord? I guess it's me. Or angry, or bitter, or prideful. That's what sin does. It's deceitful. It's tricky. And that term today is a technical term in both the Old Testament and New Testament. I'll mention something about that here in a little bit. But, you know, the challenge is for us to understand that the answer to an unbelieving house is someone speaking truth to this unbelieving house that's struggling with faith, and unbelief is like winning the day. And that's where we need each other. And in our Lutheran theology, based on the scriptures, we identify a public and a private version of that ministry. You have called me to serve on your behalf in a public way, to minister and to encourage and comfort, rebuke in a public way. But that doesn't mean that you are not to minister or exhort and comfort and rebuke in private ways the people in your life. You have a private ministry. You have called me to serve in a public way, to care for the households that are made up of St. Paul Lutheran Church. You know, I make visits, and it's fascinating to talk with people. You know, I'm not representing me, I'm representing you. I'm representing Christ. And I'm talking with and working through things. A lot of times I do things in private. Sometimes I have to make things known publicly, because that's what you're supposed to do, so that we can understand the gravity of sin and what can happen when people get led astray by the deceitfulness of sin. But that in no way means you don't do that in your private settings with your family and friends, the people you have connections with. Grandpas and grandmas disciple your grandkids. You might have to rebuke them. You might have to hold their hand and pray with them. You're going to have to keep speaking the truth into their lives, whether they want to hear it or not. That's what it's all about, so that our houses can be houses of faith and not unbelief. I mean, how many ways can you, ministering to your family, to your friends, cast out demons? God only knows. But the goal is that people live in faith and keep giving their unbelief to Jesus. What does that look like? So when you find yourself realizing you're angry, you say, Lord, I'm angry. I believe. Help me overcome my anger. Or fear. Lord, I'm afraid. I didn't realize how afraid I was of my, you know, I fill it in the blank. Someone you need to talk to. Lord, I don't want to be afraid. I want to be a man or a woman of faith. You know, when you find yourself realizing that you're lustful, we call that in the scriptures repentance. Give God thanks and then give him your lust. Say, okay, I can't handle this anymore. Or greed or whatever. That's what it's all about. That's how the house lives in faith. That's how faith talks. Faith recognizes the unbelief, is not afraid to name it, and then give it to the Lord. That's what faith does. And as we learn how to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in us, we learn how to encourage others. I should have done a little work with my daughter on Pride and Prejudice. But Lizzie, if you've ever seen the movie, you know, she's had it with men. She's with her aunt and uncle, and, you know, she's complaining about men, and then her aunt says, oh, Lizzie, that sounds like bitterness. And it's kind of cute. So the aunt is helping her niece recognize the bitterness of unbelief in her heart. We all need help. We all need someone to say, gosh, it sounds like you're really angry. Maybe we better give that to Jesus and then talk about it in a way that serves faith. I mean, isn't that what faith does? Doesn't faith want to come to the aid of others who are struggling, even as faith understands what's happening inside? I mean, a whole lot of parenting is just helping kids process their emotions with Jesus. Said a different way, a lot of parenting is helping children process their unbelief with Jesus. And maybe it's a bit strange to think of unbelief as pride and lust and greed and anger and, you know, the gamut. But that's what unbelief is. The good news is that's what Jesus came to save us from. And that's where we see Jesus' love shine brightly in our lives. I mean, it's so wonderful to have that. And we carry that ministry of exhortation so that we can care for one another and be a household of faith. You know, moving on in faith is more than a hobby. It's a way of life with others. And in some ways, it's as a mission to others. And in some ways, it's as ministry to others. But we're not really sharing with anybody anything differently than what we need ourselves. Amen? And how wonderful it is to know that there are people that have our faith back, that are praying for us, that are willing to encourage us, that aren't afraid to ask the serious questions. Are you angry? Are you fearful? Are you just bitter? I mean, those can be difficult questions to ask, but faith talks that way. Faith says things like, take and eat, take and drink the forgiveness of sins for you in Christ's body and blood. I mean, the challenge in our Hebrews text is, you know, the church can just start going through the motions. They're not thinking about their lives of faith. They're going along with the world around them, not understanding that they are to be different. And yet God calls us to be households of faith and not unbelief. Because the danger is that we fall away from the living God and have a hardness of heart. You know, those who have hardness of heart don't care about taking communion. They don't care about God's word. And those who have faith realize they desperately need God. They desperately need his word. And they know that they can receive God's grace in Jesus. So, reading on, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So there, it's wonderful to hear. Just keep holding on. Keep holding on. Keep your confidence firm in Christ to the end. I mean, we give up on ourselves. We give up on the people around us. And in truth, who's the only one that we can have confidence in? It's in Christ. And as we have confidence in Christ, we learn how to care for one another. We learn how to deal with ourselves. Now we get to this technical term, today. You know, as long as it's today and Jesus doesn't return, there's salvation to be shared. But if Jesus comes tomorrow, there will be no longer today. So it's been today for quite some time. This is Psalm 97. But today won't always be today. One day, tomorrow will come, and it'll be judgment day. So as long as it's today, this is that technical term. As long as it's today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And the answer is yes. And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Yes, yes. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? Yeah, that's true. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. That's just how serious unbelief is. And God would have us get rid of our unbelief, giving it to Jesus anytime, anywhere we see it, and asking him to help us overcome our unbelief, to be households of faith, to be households of faith, to be trusting in the Lord, seeking his will and ways for us, realizing that we are getting a beat down every day in this world where the devil, the unbelieving world, just wants us to live in unbelief. But God has a different plan for you and for me, to be a house of faith. You know, it's interesting. Our church has a lot of tradition. I mean, we're singing some praise songs where some of the authors are no longer living. I know at the first service we're singing a lot of hymns where the hymn writers are no longer living. But that's good tradition. And we say tradition is the living faith of the dead. And ideally, what we're doing as those people in the hymns encourage us to live in faith, We align with them and say, yeah, this is my faith too. But there's a danger also. It's called traditionalism. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living, going through the motions, along for the ride, you know. And that is something that we need to stay away from. The best way to think of your faith and my faith as households of faith is that we live it out in real time. We recognize our struggles. We give them to the Lord. We don't beat ourselves up because that's unbelief. We rather say, I'm going to trust the Lord. That's the way faith talks. And then we understand that our life, your life, my life, is all about current faith events, where we're asking the Lord to help us overcome our unbelief. I mean, think about that young teenager that I opened up with. Maybe he'll have a chance to talk to some of his friends about a different way of thinking about girls and about drinking. Maybe that couple that has been married for quite some time will be able to share some truths with other couples that aren't faring so well. And maybe that old matriarch can also encourage some of the matriarchs that she knows that are really struggling with what's happening in their families. That's what faith does. And right now, for you and for me, this is a faith lift up for ourselves. So the next time you're running low on faith, say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When you see unbelief trying to beat you down, just give it to Jesus. He can handle it. He can handle it. Because that's what our Savior has done. Don't lose courage and the hope we have in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.